Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. Hebrews 6, verse 9. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A blessing to you, my brothers and sisters. We want to give thanks for all the gifts and well wishes that the congregation has given to the pastoral team and the church office. And we pray that God's blessings of hope, peace, joy, and love will overflow in your lives as you go forth to be a blessing to many others. As we come to the end of 2024, we give thanks to God for all that he has done in PSBC through this church team, equipping God's people, advancing his kingdom. It is a team to equip and mobilize us, God's people, for the work of ministry, so that in and through our lives, God's purposes will advance. And on this final Sunday of the year, it is not just a team to be announced, to be fulfilled, to be put aside, but we realize that our ministry, our service, is an expression of Christian discipleship. It is not just a team to be announced, fulfilled, and put aside. And that is how we intend to wrap up the theme today. So with that, let us pray. God our Father, we end this year with thanksgiving for all the ways that you have spoken and worked in our lives. And we ask that you will inspire within us a life of faithful ministry and fruitful service, and to experience the joy and the privilege to see the fulfillment of your kingdom purposes in and through our lives, in and through PSBC. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Early December, our family visited China. We visited Beijing, Xi'an, and Shanghai in what is commonly known as the Golden Triangle itinerary. It started with Beijing, the political capital, and then moving on to Xi'an, the ancient capital, and then finally ending with Shanghai, the financial capital. And the highlight in Xi'an would be the Terracotta Warriors, because back in 200 BC, these clay life-size sculptures, figures, depict the army of Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China. And it was believed that by burying these sculptures together with the tomb of the emperor, all these armies would safeguard and protect him in the afterlife. And so far, archaeologists, through all the excavation pits, and there are many, they unearthed as many as 8,000 soldiers, 500 horses, and 130 chariots. And some of the best preserved sculptures are specially displayed so that the people could come up close to see the intricate design and craftsmanship. And in fact, I had to bash my way through the crowd, and we got a lot of people. I had to bash my way through the crowd to capture this photo of the archer in a kneeling position. And what was interesting is the back view. And what you see in that is the sole of the shoes and the intricate design on the shoes. And it is easy for a first-time visitor to be overwhelmed when we see those sculptures. Overwhelmed by the scale, by the grandeur, by the splendor of what was done more than 2,200 years ago. The immense amount of manpower, finances, resources, just for one emperor in one dynasty. But the moment we walk out of the place and we begin to regain an eternal perspective, we realize that no matter how immense the scale, grandeur and splendor of a human kingdom, nothing at all can compare to the majesty, glory, eternity of God's kingdom. And as we wrap up our church theme, Equipping God's People, Advancing His Kingdom, what does it mean for us to live in God's kingdom? And what does it mean for us to serve in God's kingdom? Especially in times when the going gets tough, when we feel like giving up, when we feel like stopping altogether. And to answer this question today, I've chosen the passage from Hebrews chapter 6. And we recall from our recent Hebrews Sermon and Bible Study series that the writer has warned the Jewish Christians of the dangers of turning away from Christ and to move on beyond the elementary basic teachings and to go beyond that. And after giving such a warning, the writer goes on to give the exhortation in verses 9 to 12. And from this passage, there are three spiritual principles for what it means for us to serve in God's kingdom, especially when the going gets tough, when we feel like giving up, when we feel like stopping altogether. And the first principle is in verses 9 to 10. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we are sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. We recall that the author had been writing to Jewish Christians in the midst of persecution. And in the midst of all the trials, the troubles, and the tribulations that they were going through, it was tempting for them to feel that in the midst of all the difficulties, God had overlooked their work. God had forgotten their labor. And so in the same way, after we have given of our time, given of our energy, given of our resources for God's kingdom, in all the ministries that we are involved in, sometimes it is tempting for us as well to think that God had overlooked our work. God had forgotten our labor as well. And at the heart of that struggle are unspoken beliefs. And we tell ourselves, it is unfair. It is unfair for whatever reason. It is not worth it. And so for those among us who have come to the end of this year and struggling for whatever reasons that it is unfair, this is God's word to you in verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And because God is just and will not overlook your work, the first spiritual principle for serving in God's kingdom is that we find encouragement from justice of God. God is not unjust. He will remember your work. And because of that, we are encouraged and we will press on. The reformer Martin Luther once wrote these words: if we consider the greatness and the glory of the life that we shall have when we have risen from the dead, it would not be difficult at all for us to bear the concerns of this world. If I believe the word I shall on the last day, after the sentence has been pronounced, not only gladly have suffered ordinary temptations, insults, and imprisonment, but I shall also say, oh, that I did not throw myself under the feet of all the godless for the sake of the great glory which I now see revealed and which has come to me through the merit of Christ. Therefore, whenever we are tempted and for whatever reason to feel that it is unfair, let us go forth and find encouragement from the justice of God. Second principle for us to press on to serve in God's kingdom is in verse 11. The writer writes, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. In times of danger, distress, and difficulty during persecution, it was tempting for the Jewish Christians to feel that all that they had done for the Lord had been hopeless because all these things were hopeless end. And so likewise, whenever we have devoted our time, our energy, our resources in the ministries that we are involved in, it might be tempting for us when the going gets tough to tell ourselves that it has been hopeless. Especially when your situation seems to be hopeless. But at the heart of that struggle is our unspoken belief. We tell ourselves it is hopeless. The things that we struggle in our hearts, we can't tell people. We tell ourselves it is hopeless. And so for those who have come to the end of this year struggling with a ministry situation that seems to be hopeless, this is God's word to you in verse 11. "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the same full assurance of hope until the end." And what this means for us is to shift our hope in ourselves to hope in God. Our perspective to God's perspective. Our finite timeline to God's divine timeline. During our China trip, we also went to the top of the Shanghai Tower. And that is the tallest building in China and the third tallest in the world. And because of the advancement in construction technology, the Shanghai Tower was constructed and completed in about 7 years. However, during the Middle Ages, whenever a cathedral was to be built, architects, the builders would start the building process, the design, the foundation, but many of them would not live long enough to see its completion. And nevertheless, they knew that whatever that they started would be completed by subsequent generations. In other words, they knew that they were building for those who came after them. And that's why we have this term called cathedral thinking. A dictionary explains this as long-term projects or goals realized for the sake of or for benefit of future generations. And what this means for us is that we as God's people must have a certain kind of cathedral thinking as well. That whatever ministry is that He has called us to serve in, it is not just for here and now, but for all those who will come after us, and ultimately for God Himself. And therefore, whenever we are tempted to think that for whatever reason it is hopeless, let us find earnestness of hope in God. The third principle to serve in God's kingdom is in verse 12. "So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." During persecutions, the trials, the troubles, and tribulations could have tempted the Jewish Christians to spiral downwards towards sluggishness. But it is exactly at such a time like that the author gave the exhortation to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited God's promises. Who did the author have in mind? In chapter 6, it would be Abraham himself who inherited God's promises. In chapter 11, it would be the Old Testament saints who inherited God's promises. And in the larger context of the book of Hebrews, it would be Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who endured the cross, who inherited God's promises. So in the same way, after we have devoted our time, energy, and resources for the ministries that God has called us to, there may be times when we feel tempted to feel that our ministry result has been futile. No reward, no fruit, futile. And at the heart of that struggle is our unspoken belief that it is futile. And we want to stop altogether. We want to give up altogether. And so for those of us who have come to the end of this year, struggling with futility, is struggling with sluggishness. This is God's word to you. In verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Therefore, the third spiritual principle for us to press on to serve in God's kingdom is that we have endurance toward promises of God. And the question would be, how does it look like for us to have endurance towards the promises of God? It is to consider what Max Lucado wrote in his book, The Applause of Heaven. He wrote, "You may not have noticed it, but you are closer to home than ever before. Each moment is a step taken. Each breath is a page turned. Each day is a mile marked, a mountain climbed. You are closer to home than you have ever been. Before you know it, your appointed arrival time will come. You will descend the ramp and enter the city. You will see faces that are waiting for you. You will hear your name spoken by those who love you. And maybe, just maybe, in the back, behind the crowds, the one who would rather die than live without you will remove his pierced hands from his heavenly robe and applaud." Timely words as we come to the end of the year, as we prepare to enter a new year, because we are closer to home than ever before. We are nearer the city than ever before. Therefore, whenever we are tempted to think that for whatever reason it has been unfair, it has been hopeless, it has been futile for you, for whatever reason, let us find the encouragement, let us find the earnestness, let us find the endurance to press on by looking to Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, to finish the race and inherit God's promises. Because we are nearer to home than ever before. 80 years ago, in the winter of December 1944, Nazi Germany launched a surprise counter-offensive across the Ardennes forest in a final attempt to turn the tide of World War II. That was the famous Battle of the Bulge. And when the battle started on December 16, 80 years ago, the Germans launched a surprise attack on Lanzerhout in Belgium. Not only were the American troops totally surprised by the counteroffensive, they were hopelessly outnumbered in that sector, outnumbered 15 to 1. Because the American platoon defending that sector was facing the entire German battalion, they were outnumbered 15 to 1. When Private William James realized that the enemy attack was imminent, he volunteered to defend the most forward position facing the Germans. He took position there and he opened fire when he saw the German troops. And because of the surprise, many of the German enemies were wounded, many of them killed. And so the Germans spotted him, mounted a frontal attack on his position, but he, one person in that defensive position, repelled three waves of attack. At the fourth and final attack, he ran out of ammunition, so he had to pull back from that forward position, and that was when he was shot and he was captured. By then, Private William James and his platoon had inflicted many German casualties, delayed their advance for almost 18 hours. It was supposed to be a surprise attack, but they were delayed for 18 hours, and that bought precious time for the Allied forces to organize the defense to stop the German advance. After surviving the war, he had to undergo 30 surgeries for all kinds of combat wounds that he had suffered. 30 surgeries. And all those years, what the platoon had done in December 1944 was overlooked. forgotten. Finally, many years in 1981, the US Congress finally, through the work of some of the people who campaigned for the platoon, managed to finally recognize the contributions of the platoon, including William James for his extraordinary heroism, for his personal bravery, and his zealous devotion against insurmountable odds. And the recognition led to the awarding of the Distinguished Service Cross. However, it was a posthumous award received by the wife because William James had passed away. That award came 4 years after his death, almost four decades after the battle. But finally, he, together with his platoon mates, were remembered. For us, we are sure of better things, things that accompany salvation, because God will never overlook and forget, but will surely remember your work and will certainly reward your labor. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond to God. My brothers and sisters, we come to the end of the year. A theme has been announced, fulfilled. But it's a theme that we should put aside. Or actually, it is a theme that expresses to us what it means to live a life of ministry and service as an expression of our Christian discipleship. And perhaps we come to the end of this year, there are those among us who feel that it has been unfair. It has been hopeless. It has been futile. For whatever reasons that might be, and you feel like giving up, you feel like stopping, what is God's word to you? God's word to you will be God's word to the Jewish Christians many years ago who were facing persecution. And in the midst of all those unspoken beliefs that we hold dear to us, that it is unfair, it is futile, it is hopeless, God's word to us is that we find encouragement from his justice. We find earnestness in hope in God. And that we can endure towards his promises. Therefore, may our closing song express what it means for us to press on by faith, patience, and obedience for what he has called us to.